to the jungle.
Thank you very much, Andrea. Extension 720, John Hansen here for Justin Kaufman. I'll be hanging out with you till about 10 o'clock this evening, and love for you to join the conversation on the text line or the talk line, 312-981-7200. But onto the phone lines we go with a very special guest here today. I've chatted with him a couple times before, Howard Tolman, the leader of the Ed Kaplan Family Institute for Innovation at Tech Entrepreneurship at ITT, or IIT, excuse me. And Howard, you join me on the line. Now, Howard, I hope we're not interrupting a big dinner for you or anything like that.
No, I was just I just finished with the flash mob at the Bean, and I just I just want to chat with you, and
yeah, so
looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, Howard, we last met, I think it was about a year ago, maybe a little over a year ago. We kind of co-hosted a show for Scott Catoon at the last minute, talking about tech and business, and you and I talked a little bit about the mayoral race, but at the time, we didn't know that Mayor Emanuel, or at least even if you knew, you didn't tell us, that Mayor Emanuel would not be seeking another term. And we talked about the mayor's influence, Mayor Emanuel's influence on a global scale, and he's traveled the world. You've traveled with him on different occasions. All right, so now we have Mayor-elect Lori Lightfoot. What are your reactions, first as a person and as a Chicagoan and as a businessman?
Well, I think, honestly, I mean, I think that we don't know, and you know, we're all optimistic in the sense that we hope she does well. It's a huge job. You know, I thought one of the interesting lines coming out of the campaign was the mayor's office is not really an entry-level job, but I hope, you know, look, you got to wish her well. It's our city. We want, you know, we want the city to be successful. And, you know, from the standpoint of the tech and the business community, this was not a topic of much conversation during the campaign. And so we're, you know, we're hopefully sort of waiting to see some of the stuff, you know, that she's talked about, and some of the signaling has been good. I mean, you know, I think that if she would have postponed the Lincoln Yards and the related projects, I think that would have been a really bad signal.
I was talking to Howard Chanick from the Tribune a couple weeks ago about an article he wrote, and there you were all over it, Howard, with some quotes. And I wanted to just have you elaborate on the idea that, and you kind of, you just touched on it now, but the idea of the worry of kind of taking your foot off the gas with some of these things.
I think it's a question of priorities. I mean, if you ask Rahm, if you ask Laurie, frankly, I mean, they would say you have to make choices. And, you know, I think that the way to answer the momentum issue and the choices issue is she needs to move very quickly to get some people around her who can reassure these various constituencies. And it's not limited to the business and tech community. I mean, look, we depend to a tremendous amount on tourism, 55 million people. We depend on corporate relocations. And a lot of these things all go to the same proposition, which is what kind of assured stability do you have? That's sort of half the question. And the second half of the question that every business is going to be acting and sort of asking about is, you know, how do we know that if the mayor makes a commitment that the mayor can deliver? You know, that used to be not even an issue, you know, for umpteen years under Daley and pretty much under Rahm. But here you have a new, you know, council. You've lost a lot of the senior leaders in the council in terms of the aldermen. You got a new mayor, you know, and the issue is, you know, if the world says, well, let's wait and see for a year or two, that's gonna be a slowdown. It is damaging. Hey, yeah, it absolutely is.
Howard, I want to ask, because I think a lot of people frame this as a choice where we could either back corporations in the downtown area, give them the breaks they need to come here, to give the tech industry the funding that it needs and the startup, but that's at the cost of helping neighborhoods build themselves, especially some of our neighborhoods that need the help. I would imagine, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but these things don't have to be mutually exclusive, right? I mean, we can kind of tackle these things together.
Well, I think that the problem that people miss, and I think this was what happened in New York, frankly, too, is, you know, you don't grow an economy by taxes, especially the way our taxes presently are, and you don't grow it by, you know, charity. You grow it by growing business. I mean, business is what pays the bills. And so I think that you have to continue to grow the business and the revenues of the city in order to be able to afford to make the other clearly important investments. I mean, one of the things that we fought about all the time, even with Rahm, was, you know, he was like, well, I'd like to have a version of 1871, you know, which was a tech incubator, the number one in the world. I'd like to have it a version in most of the neighborhoods. And we're like, you know, some things require critical mass, and you just can't have, you know, take 40 unused firehouses and turn them into mini incubators and think that that's going to serve the community. And in fact, some of the latest commentary about some of Laurie's, you know, ideas around, you know, investing in and supporting small businesses in throughout the city, not just in terms of downtown. The fact is that small businesses aren't what's growing. What's growing are new businesses. And new businesses are a different set of challenges than trying to figure out how to make the city a little more responsive to businesses that need a certain kind of license or a certain kind of signage. And by the way, I mean, the Emanuel administration prides itself probably on eliminating a zillion different regulations and, you know, obstacles and things like that. So I'm just a little wary that, as you said, it's really not an either or. You know, we don't have to make bad choices. I think we can be creative and we can serve all these needs. And of course, you know, you got to look to the governor as well to help out. And specifically, you know, one of the big things that really is a sort of south of the loop project is this whole thing around related and what's called DPI, which is a huge thing that, that Governor Rauner committed to the tune of about $500 million. JB's position has been, you know, if the private sector can raise a bunch of money, then maybe he'll honor the state's commitment in that regard. Not exactly what right. you want to hear.
Right.
But you know, and also there's always the issue of, hey, it was the last guy's pet project, so I want to get as far away from it as I can. But look, we're a city that continues to be innovative. You know, this is a city of a million firsts. And, you know, it's interesting because when you look back, you know, we had the first immigrant mayor, we had the first female mayor, we had the first African-American mayor, we had the longest serving mayor in terms of Mayor Daley. Rahm was the first Jewish mayor. Laurie's probably a trifecta. You know, I don't know if, you know, which of the things she is most focused on, but, you know, she's certainly the first African-American, you know, woman in right. terms of mayors. And that's the kind of place this is, you know, and so we figure it out. You know, this, I like to say that today the present has never been more temporary. It's
right.
like, okay, well, that was today, and what have you done for me, you know, lately, because now it's tomorrow. But, you know, go ahead.
You know, you kind of floated the idea of, unlike what happened in New York. Are you referring to the Amazon HQ pullout?
Yeah, I think that you had some very limited number of local politicians who said, we're going to make your life miserable. And, you know, they didn't understand that, you know, when you're talking about 25 or 30,000 jobs, the effect of that, you know, on your economy and on a lot of people's lives is pretty substantial. And, you know, very few of these, you know, TIF arrangements or concessions. I mean, there wasn't a city in the country that didn't make pretty dramatic concessions to Amazon. But that was only sort of half the problem. The other problem was they made it very clear that they weren't going to be welcoming. And I think this is going to be an issue for a lot of the Midwestern cities. You know, one of the exciting things that happened in the last few months is Silicon Valley companies have started to relocate their headquarters into Chicago because of the talent issue, which is you can't get people on the West Coast, you can't afford them, and then they can't afford housing out there. Mm-hmm. So they're starting to say, what markets are better places in terms of quality of life, in terms of opportunities for growth? So that's why you have Salesforce and Facebook and Google and all these companies committing to substantial growth here. Couldn't be better for our economy or for the city. And so that's very encouraging too. I mean, we're a diverse city. You know, we don't have a single dominant industry. It's not like finance on the East Coast or entertainment on the West Coast. We've got, you know, all these different sectors that contribute to the economy. So, all of that is a pretty, you know, easy story to tell. You just want to be sure you're not, you know, telling the wrong story.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask, Howard. And we got to, I'll do one question here before we take a quick break. But yes, I think that the story that you tell is compelling. I think a lot of people understand it. But of course, there's this anti-incumbent. There's a rise in Democratic socialists, especially in the party. A lot of people are clamoring for change in how it's done. There's any corporation that gets any tax break comes under increased scrutiny. Maybe scrutiny isn't the worst thing in the world to really analyze these sorts of things. But is it up to politicians and innovators and developers to tell this story better, that even if it creates 25,000 jobs of middle income jobs, that's also going to get working class income jobs coming into the area too? Are we not telling the story the right way?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. In fact, it's probably 3-1. I think most of the math was, if Amazon brought 50,000 jobs over the course of what they were talking about, and by the way, they were distributed across every income level. They, you know, somehow one of the things they screwed up on day one was to get sucked into the average job is $100,000.
Right.
You know, in order to get to an average job, you got to have both ends of that, and you got to have a lot of that. But the multiplier effect was like 3-for-1. It would probably have generated another 120,000 jobs at every other level of economy and support. So, you know, you've got that issue. And then I think the biggest thing is the tech companies, you're exactly right. I mean, they live within themselves. I mean, they live in this bubble. And I don't think that they've invested enough time in laying the groundwork and understanding that you've got to, you know, connect to the community and to all of the constituencies. You know, one of the things Blair Kamen said, who's, you know, the architecture critic for the Trib, I believe, you know, he said that Lincoln Yards, you know, from the renderings, looks like somebody parachuted in from outer space, an entire downtown's, you know, little pod.
Kind of looks like Soldier Field when they redid it. Like, where did this come from?
Well, who stuck that on there?
Right.
So, I mean, making it fit and being respectful and responsive to the community is pretty essential. And I don't think that a lot of these big companies understand that they have to sort of address those issues.
Yeah, they do.
As really part of the package.
Yeah, they do. Howard, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You don't mind staying on the line for just a little longer, do you?
No, happy to do it.
All right, Howard Tolman, former CEO of 1871. We mentioned his credentials earlier. Quick break and more on Extension 720. Extension 720, John Hansen in for Justin Kaufman till 10 o'clock. Thanks so much for spending part of your Wednesday evening with us. We still got Howard Tolman on the line. Howard, we call that bumpin' music here in the business. If we were to let you pick your own kind of song to get into a Howard Tolman segment, we'll put it down for the next time we chat. What would you pick? Who are you picking?
You know, I go with a song called Tub Thumpers by Chihuahua, or whatever that Chumbawamba. You know, it's the one about I get knocked down.
No,
I
yes,
Chumbawamba. Can you sing a little bit for us, Howard, or what?
Yeah, it's an entrepreneur's song. It's I get knocked down, you know, and then,
but I get up again. Howard, I didn't think this would come up in our conversation, but I appreciate for playing along. All right, so you mentioned for Lori Lightfoot, do you want her to hire advisors that can help her outreach to all sorts of different communities, business or not? Let's say
in part because I think that unlike some of the other candidates, you know, who were a package deal, I mean, I think she didn't have, you know, even an opportunity. I mean, she had like 40 days or something. She didn't have a huge team assembled. I mean, she didn't have a lot of the background that a lot of these other candidates had, and so they could bring with them. And so
I don't know if she entered that race thinking she might win. I really don't. And how could, I mean, it was a real surprise. I mean, good for her. I mean, it's a great story. And as you mentioned, she a lot of firsts in her categories. And not only that, obviously,
well, you know,
she destroyed Tony Preckwinkle in the runoff. I mean, it wasn't even close. And now you've got a limited time.
Anyway, look, it wasn't close, but I mean, the truth is, and I think, you know, for better or for worse, depending on, you know, which side of the aisle you're on, I mean, I think the Democrats are doing it to themselves already at the national level. And the truth is what sort of happened here was you had at least two tiers of candidates, and the more experienced tier, 4 or 5 of these people, canceled each other's, you know, each other out. And so you ended up with somebody that nobody expected to even make the, you know, the bottom line of the cut. And I think everybody was really surprised. Not afterwards. In other words, in the runoff,
yeah,
I think people were, well, look, this is a message about change, and this is a message about business as usual, albeit with experience. But then, you know, I mean, I think that Tony must have woken up under a really dark cloud, because between, you know, Ed Burke and, you know, Kim Fox and two or three of these body blows that she suffered, I don't think anybody was going to win that election.
Yeah, even after we just found out she spent $5 million on it. Okay, Howard, so what I was getting at is Lori Lightfoot calls you. I don't know if she has. Have you talked to her? Have you met Lori Lightfoot?
Yeah.
And she asks, what's the, I'm not saying she has asked or she will, but what's priority number one from a business and tech perspective for her? Is it a matter of just instilling confidence so that no one slows down or says, oh, I'm going to wait and see on Chicago? What's first?
I think priority number one is to say that you don't start disrupting until you learn the lay of the land. And stability is really important. So I think that the most important message is, you know, on day one, you don't try to, you know, you've lost the guy who was the floor leader. Some of the most experienced of the good aldermen are gone. You're going to lose a lot of people that are running city departments if they haven't already left. You've got to say that we're going to keep the wheels on and we're going to keep the basic operation of the city going. In order to convince, you know, the outside world that it's not going to be chaotic. I mean, stability is what drives the markets. It's what drives investment. You know, it's pretty much, you know, we tell our startups at 1871, you know, the last thing you want to say to a company, to a customer, is I'm new, I'm innovative, I'm novel, because they don't hear any of those words.
Right.
They hear
risk,
mistakes, reinvestment, new training, cost, all those kinds of things.
Interesting.
So she's got to be careful. You know, it's a message of change. You know, she thinks that the election was a huge endorsement. And it obviously was relative to the choice that was presented. You know, a different question is, when two-thirds of the people don't even show up to vote,
right,
what's the real message?
Right.
You know? I wrote a piece and I said, is this a mandate or is this meh?
Right.
You know, who knows?
Right. No, and it's interesting because I was really rallied up for part one of the election and then I wasn't for part two. And I think a lot of people are falling in that camp, even though it was a three-quarter to one-quarter election result. Howard, last question really quickly. All right. You're issuing a grade to Chicago business and tech. Where are we at right now? You give them an A, give them a B, give them a C. I know it's a really broad question, but just what's the pulse?
No, listen, I mean, we've got some really simple math. I mean, you know, we went from when Rahm came in, tech was about 2% of our economy. Now it's almost 14%. That represents about 165,000 jobs just in the information technology sector. We've raised in startups $1.4 billion in new money. We're the best place in the country for female entrepreneurs to build their businesses. So I would tell you that the tech community is hitting it out of the park, and, you know, it's only going to be more so because the next 5 years are going to be about technology-centric businesses. We're not going to have dog and cat, you know, pet dating sites, and we're not going to have too many more services that are going to come out and brush your teeth for you, but we're going to have telemedicine and cybersecurity and machine learning and all of these. The core is technology. So I think that there's no end in terms of what's going on, and I'm very, very optimistic about that. We just have the city to basically either lead or get out of the way, and either one would be perfectly fine with us.
Well, we're going to get out of your way so you can go home and listen to some Chumbawamba, okay, Howard?
All right.
Actually, I have some.
Let's play
some. Wait a second.
All right,
hold on, Howard. I got you.
Hold on. Here it comes.
There you go. Yeah.
That was your chance, Howard, to sing along, but it wasn't the karaoke version.
Thank you.
Me and you will do some karaoke to that soon, okay?
All right, super.
Thanks, Howard. Appreciate
the
time.
Bye-bye.
All right, quick break and then more on Extension 720.